Welcome back, everybody, to another extra special. The same as every week, let's say. What If recap, where this week Marvel's animated show What If asked the question, just zombies.
What if zombies?
Yeah.
They didn't even really need, you know, the origin of the zombies, the quantum virus, the et cetera.
No.
I mean, it's nice to have it, but I mean, you know.
Mm.
But the people aren't in it for that. They're just like, what if zombies? Marvel knows what the public want. This is quite, you know, a different from, because Marvel Comics have had numerous strains of Marvel zombies.
Yes.
They originated, I think.
Also, leave a like.
Yeah, if you could.
We should leave a like. Do the thing. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They originated in, I believe, Ultimate Fantastic Four,
okay.
Which was a sort of a parallel Marvel comic book universe, which was like a sort of a modernization of a lot of classic Marvel comic characters for the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Mark Miller story, I think. But then they got their own zombie series, just Marvel Zombies, which was written by Robert Kirkman, who created The Walking Dead and Invincible. So
that's right, yeah, most famously. That's it. So, yeah, there's been multiple iterations, and there were little hints towards the comics like along the way, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Also, thank you to the people who went to bigsandwich.co and signed up early and get the audio version of this early or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was interesting about this week as well? We've had two episodes, where Hank Pym is the villain.
Right, yeah.
And there's a pretty grim trend in a lot of these. Like it was, you know, Avengers were murdered. That, you know, zombies and what was the one last week that was Doctor Strange evil stuck in a little awful dimension where he destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Most of these just like what if just but terrible. It's terrible.
Well, I mean, is that a function of the fact that Marvel probably have more interesting heroes than they do villains? So
okay,
like
sure, yeah.
If you got to do something with the heroes, you know what I mean? If you're like what if Red Skull was slightly worse? I don't know. Bigger Hydra symbols? I don't know.
A squid, maybe?
Maybe a squid.
Maybe there's a squid. Yeah.
But what is interesting, I think, about these Marvel zombies as distinct from the comic book Marvel zombies is the comic book Marvel zombies are, for the most part, intelligent.
Yes.
Their intelligence sort of wavers up and down. It sort of depends on how many brains they've eaten recently, but they can
it's hunger levels and stuff,
but they can sort of they can carry on conversations. They retain a lot of their intelligence. They can, you know, use, you know, all the weapons and powers and stuff that they had, you know, when they were alive. These Marvel zombies, they can still use their powers to some extent,
yeah,
but they are otherwise sort of your classic kind of Romero or Zack Snyder zombies that are just kind of brainless and shambling. And Hawkeye can still use his bow because I guess that's ingrained into him, but he can't, you know, have a conversation about Budapest, for example.
No.
That's right out the window.
Oh, mate, the thing that he loves the best in the world.
That's right.
And I think that's probably my favorite thing about that character,
mm-hmm.
that thing that he brings up every now and then. Yeah, but so this week we've got Mark Ruffalo, Sebastian Stan, Evangeline Lilly, Paul Rudd, John Favreau, Danai Gurira, Emily Van Camp, David Dash Mulchin, and then surprise appearance, but not really, by Chadwick Boseman and Paul Bettany at the end, which again speaks to that thing I said a few weeks back of like, maybe don't put all the names up top because then you know Black Panther's going to show up.
Well, I mean, that is true, but also I always get a little thrill when I see the title sequence and I see all the actors that are being popped in, and I'm like, oh, we're gonna get an Emily Van Camp, we're gonna get a Mark Ruffalo.
That's true.
We're gonna get a guy that sounds quite a lot like Tom Holland. Very, very good work.
Hey, Hudson Thames. Yeah, he does an excellent Tom Holland. Also, apparently, and correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, which I'm sure people will, this is like the first time Uncle Ben is mentioned in this universe by name.
It seems that way.
Like we see like his suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously hints towards him, but
I see. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely the first time Spider-Man has referred to him as Uncle Ben. I think maybe Aunt May has possibly mentioned Ben in passing, maybe.
Okay, sure,
but again,
yeah.
the comments will know for sure.
They'll definitely know.
But
tell
yeah,
us.
I feel like it was quite jarring for him to say Uncle Ben. I'm like, huh, there you go.
Good for him, yeah. So I've seen also, and I can understand this complaint, that the tone of this was a bit all over the shop because you get, like, there's a lot of, like, darker stuff happening and then you're just getting quips of just like, I'm just ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's Paul Rudd just telling everybody.
Well, exactly. You know, we got, as the aforementioned, you know, Peter Parker being really sad about, you know, the death of Aunt May and Uncle Ben and Tony Stark and Happy Hogan and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, he's making fun little Zombieland style videos about how to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Yes, exactly.
Remember your cardio, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that entirely works, the balance. But also at the same time, like, you know, this is also a kid's show, you know? And
well,
even
yeah,
though you do get the gore and the, you know, it's a cutting heads off, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like you would get in, say, a George Romero movie. You know?
That's true. I mean, I think that has been a fairly common complaint throughout this series as a whole. I mean, with the possible exception of the Doctor Strange episode, there has been quite a lot of, like, it's, you know, the world is falling to pieces, but everybody's doing the quips.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, nobody's taken it that seriously. And, you know, I understand the complaint, but I also feel like this series feels like it's for people who are very familiar with the world and don't mind sort of making light of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, and we'll talk about the ending. Just because there are, like, quips throughout, it doesn't mean it won't end on, like, you know, a darker kind of twist, you know what I mean? It'll kind of leave things up in the air. I liked how it did open with Infinity War, though. That's good fun. We've got plenty of beheadings, like, straight out of the gate.
Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing the return of the Iron Man watch from Civil War, Happy Hogan sporting that.
That's right, yeah.
For a time. I also like, and I guess this can be said for all the What If episodes, you can just be really disposable with a bunch of characters.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have to be precious with anybody, which I guess we saw, like, probably most famously in that episode where they killed all the Avengers, or when Doctor Strange killed literally everybody. I mean, you know.
I think it was interesting.
Either of those.
Going into this episode, I thought, well, you know, everybody loves Iron Man. We'll be seeing plenty of Iron Man through this episode. Maybe he'll be the big bad. But no, beheaded almost immediately. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and same with so many of the other ones, you know, just they're wearing the legendary costume, but they in a lot of ways they sort of become cannon fodder. I felt like the fact that they don't really retain any intelligence sort of blunted the drama in a lot of ways. Like, you know, obviously we had Bucky, kind of, you know, having sort of this final showdown with zombie Captain America, but there's nothing really, you know, behind that beyond, like, wouldn't it be cool to see Bucky fight Captain America, but he's a zombie kind of thing?
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's fair enough. I thought it was interesting how, you know, they brought Vision back and the relationship that he had with Wanda is kind of like the flip side of what they did in WandaVision, where one is keeping a version of the other one alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It also reminded me, and this was, I can't remember which specific Marvel zombie comic it is, but Wilson Fisk is a zombie and he has his wife Vanessa. He's left her as human and he's, like, protecting her in his penthouse. She's like one of the last humans alive because he's still the kingpin. He's just a zombie version.
Yeah, like we didn't really get. Yeah, I felt like there was, you know, as fun as it was, and it. I mean, the difficulty here is obviously you have to cram a full zombie movie's worth of zombie tropes into 30 minutes. So you need to have, like, a man emerges into a world that he thought was normal, but then all of a sudden isn't normal, and he sees some people that he loves, and he thinks they're normal, but then they're zombies, and then they have to, you know, they hear a distress signal, so they have to track down the distress signal, and they have to get a vehicle working, and then they have to. You know, they go to the place that they think is their salvation, but then it turns out it's a trap, and, you know, some people make a final stand, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, they had to pack that all in. So I guess what had to be taken out was kind of more kind of character specific moments.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I feel like that also speaks to, like, maybe the quips coming a bit too thick and fast, because just, like, tell a joke, keep moving. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? No time to breathe. Let's just keep it going. I also thought it was interesting how they did the Black Panther is being used as food thing from the comics. That was something that happened to him also. And also, do you remember there was, again, I'm not being very specific, but Hawkeye was beheaded and he ends up just being like a head in a jar, which is like a similar thing to what they did with Paul Rudd. And I do enjoy, like, that Futurama style head in a jar with the Doctor Strange cape around it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Vision sacrificing himself at a very suboptimal time? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
just
sure.
Letting the zombies pour in and then Scarlet Witch breaks out and is just like, bye, everybody. Like, you couldn't have waited like 10 minutes. Just like, oh, there's the hangar. It's like 100 meters away. I'm going to kill myself now. You know? I guess he's not thinking clearly.
No, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Also, that death is not the end speech from Chadwick Boseman. It feels like every line that he gets now, it's kind of, there is so much more weight to it, you know what I mean?
Very poignant, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe he pushed for that during production. Like maybe like yeah. maybe just that character has a certain amount of gravitas, so they wrote lines specifically for that kind of tone. Mm. Or maybe he was like, listen, can you give me something that isn't a quip, please? If you wouldn't mind.
Yes, please. Also, I think it's, you know, pretty funny to be like, death is not the end. Well, at least it's not in Wakanda because, well, the kings at least specifically go to live in a magic tree. I don't know what happens to everybody else, but all the kings get to hang out in a magic tree, and that's great.
Everybody else gets to live in a magic ditch. It's not as good, but at least you got that ditch.
Oh, it's magic, though.
Yeah, it's magic. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So this is one of the episodes also that I felt like I could have used more on because it ends on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
We get the reveal that Wakanda has been taken over by zombies and Thanos, who's missing one Infinity Stone, which is coming his way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're coming back to this? Were you satisfied with the way it ended?
Yeah, I love a good cliffhanger like this. Why not? I mean, you know, and most of these universes are doomed. Why not?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do that again, like this season or next season or like at all? Or are we kind of done with this?
I wonder if some of these episodes, they are sort of throwing them out there to see what the public responds to
most strongly.
And then maybe they could do, you know, another episode or even like a full animated movie. Like, as I was saying, like it's interesting they packed all the zombie tropes into this one 30-minute episode. Maybe if people like this one the best, they could expand it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've also got cliffhangers mentioned, like that Doctor Strange episode where he's technically still alive. He could return, maybe in live action even. Like the Peggy Carter episode, we saw Ego and Peter kind of team up at the end of that episode.
Uh-huh.
That brings me around to, when's the Watcher going to step in and be like, I'm going to merge some universes? Are we still on that train? Is that where we are?
Great question. We were certainly on a train this episode.
Very good. Great observation.
Thank you.
That's the kind of cutting observation you can expect here at whatever this is.
Folks, a few things you missed on this episode. A train. They were on a train. Did you think they were in just one really big car? Well, they weren't. It was on a track. So wrong. After last week's episode, I thought perhaps there would be a moment, you know, perhaps we would have, you know, a zombie Thanos about to acquire the last Infinity Stone, but then the Watcher's like, do I step in? Because he's going to destroy this universe. But then again, I got other stuff to do. And then he wouldn't. Yeah. But I thought maybe that this would be, you know, the second and the kind of third time's the charm idea of like maybe he wouldn't interfere a couple of times and then things get too bad so he has to step in. But maybe it'll be next episode. Maybe they give us a breather.
Well, next week is, what do we got next week? Episode 6 and there's 9 in total. And we know that there's at least, we know of at least 2 other episodes. There's the Party Thor episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the one where Iron Man is rescued by Killmonger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen that in the trailers?
Yes.
When he, after that, you know, that incident which puts the hole in his heart or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wonder whether, I thought episode 7 they were going to start merging and you thought 6.
Yes.
Do you want to change anything about that?
Gosh, I mean,
bearing in mind there are no stakes.
None
of this matters.
Whoa.
You need to bear that in mind, all right?
Okay, well then I'm going to say it's already happened. I bet it's already happened. No, I'm going to say I think it happened. I think it will happen maybe. I'm going to bump it up to, If we've seen Party Thor and this Iron Man Killmonger combination, that's 2 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's going to happen at the end of one of those. I reckon.
Okay, fair enough.
I reckon maybe the whatever episode 7 is, I think he's going to interfere in 7.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe like right at the end, yeah.
So you're jumping on, for lack of a better phrase, train, my train.
Mm-hmm, yep.
you know that famous expression?
Yeah.
Are you jumping on my train?
And let me tell you, James, I have purchased a ticket at the ticket kiosk, and the man with the little hat has clipped it, and I'm getting on that train, James. Your train.
You could just do that on your phone now. You don't need to go through the kiosk. There's a barcode you can scan.
I like the experience.
But I guess you like the human interaction.
Yeah. I do. Yep.
Fair enough.
I've loaded up my trolley with my suitcase, and I'm pushing it through the platform 9 3/4 to your train. James, is what's happening here.
I think it might actually end up being later than 7. But look, I said 7 from, you know, a few episodes back, so I guess I'm just going to stick with it. Anyway, I'm curious to know what people think of this episode in particular. You got any more thoughts? Where did this rank for you? Was it a good one?
Look, I had a great deal of fun. Thought it was delightful. I didn't think the action was as spectacular as maybe, you know, perhaps the Peggy Carter episode.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I felt, look, again, it's always nice to see, you know, zombies in any context, except maybe in a live context. Like if they were here outside my door right now, I wouldn't like that at all.
No.
But in any fictional context, I like it. I just thought it was a bit of a shame we didn't see them. It's not that they didn't feel like the comic book versions of the zombies. It's just they didn't feel particularly like they didn't stand out from regular zombies beyond the fact that they sort of had kind of control of their powers a little bit, some of them.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Because one of the things I did like about some of the zombies is when you'd get their powers in full force. Like from the start, I'm like, we better be getting a giant like Ant-Man zombie like situation. And we did get that with the Wasp. And even seeing like what happens when Scarlet Witch, you know, turns into a zombie, that's the stuff that I, you know, enjoy seeing when you're like, what if the worst person imaginable, like this happened to them, what would that affect? And I don't think we saw that the full potential of that necessarily for every character.
Well, it's interesting that in the comic books, one of the reasons that the virus spreads so quickly around the world is that Quicksilver gets it. And then, of course, he can run around the world at super speed. I thought a little interesting they didn't get either Quicksilver for this. Maybe people were like, I was going to say maybe it's because they used him in WandaVision, but they used Wanda and Vision in WandaVision, and they were happy to bring him back here, so don't know.
Yeah, true. Anyways, as mentioned, these go up early at bigsandwich.co, plus a bunch of other early videos, including Caravan of Garbage. We're starting Casino Royale this week, and a couple of days or a day or so after this goes up, where there's going to be a Matrix Resurrections trailer breakdown. Are you excited for Matrix Resurrections?
Very excited. I've seen the tiniest of snippets, and I'm like, ooh, jumping and rain and squids. My goodness. Oh, my.
Have you checked out whatisthematrix.com like you did in 1999?
I am very excited to do so. Oh, my God. That was just speaking of Easter eggs, that was just a font of Easter eggs back in the day. Ah. Oh.
Boy, was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Anyways, thanks everybody for watching. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and I've changed my mind, I think, episode 8. Just to be...
Okay, fair enough.
Just as a point of difference. Just, you know.
All right, let's do it.
That's right.
And now thank you, as always, to Rob Collings for doing this edit. He does it, doesn't he? And we appreciate it.
I mean, we're assuming he does it. Maybe he farms it out to someone else after you farm it out to him.
Oh, he's outsourcing.
Yeah, he's outsourcing, yeah. I think.
Well,
yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah, right.
Either way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't work hard, cheat, and win. That's what I say.
That's right.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.